Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo Chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal standing by. Let's talk some football. Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's recap is available at WGR550.com. We'll touch a little bit on that, a little bit on some of the press conferences from yesterday. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Thursday. How are you, sir?
Excellent, guys. Good morning to you as well.
Oh, thank you. Let's do, you know, sometimes, you know, with the movies and the TV shows, there's always that little message, you know, violence, language, not suitable, all that stuff. So let's get the all important first day, first practice of training camp. Once again, would you remind people that if they're wondering, hey, you idiots, why don't you ask Sal about who got starting reps at this position? Why don't you go ahead and tell people again of what you're, well, not allowed to report and say?
Yeah, that's one of them. You know, we basically in the media cannot tell, we can't report who's taking what reps with what teams. First team, who's the starter here, starter there. I mean, obviously, you know, Josh Allen's the starting quarterback, right? But it comes
cornerback
to
too, you can't tell us what's going
yeah,
on.
We're not
right?
going to be able to do that. I can tell you, you know, if Levi Wallace had a strong day or not, or Dane Jackson did, or Rashad Wild Goose. I can tell you those things. Even, you know, which side people are lining up on, things like that. Anything that relates to positions on the field in any respect, anything that relates to where they are in a depth chart in any respect, and even specific plays. Now, I could tell you that, you know, yesterday, you know, Josh Allen threw a touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis or maybe who was even in coverage. That's fine, but can't describe the play for you, those kinds of things. So there's all that stuff. And then when people follow us in this day and age, you know, there's so much social media and pictures and video and all of that. There are only certain times where the media is allowed to take pictures or video. And sometimes you'll see like everybody who's out at practice. We were actually kind of joking about this yesterday as a group. You know, we're all out there, but yet we're all dark. We're quiet, right? We can't say anything. And then all of a sudden there's this barrage of tweets and videos after practice. That's because we have to hold them sometimes until after practice. A lot of it just depends on, you know, what's going on, what period it is, and if the team is live streaming on their own channels and things like that. So just so everybody knows, you know, that those are the rules we're working within. And it's not for not wanting to tell you what's going on. We're doing our best to do that.
First week of camp, they ease everybody in, right? They don't go full bore, throw the full pads on and get after everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are CBA rules as well. You got to be without pads for, I think, 3 days maybe. I have to check on that, but that's traditional. I mean, any level of football I've ever played or been around, you can't just put the pads on day one. You can't do that. You have to have an acclimation period. But they were wearing, I think they looked like they were in some shells, basically, but no shoulder pads. They do have helmets on. And really interesting, I actually made note of this in my write-up. I'd never seen it before. All of the offensive and defensive linemen actually had an added pad on top of their helmets. And I don't mean this to sound funny, but it looked like a Mark Kelso helmet, basically,
right
back in the day. And it was an added layer of protection. And, you know, that's my assumption. And I don't know exactly for sure, but every offensive and defensive lineman, it wasn't like just one or two guys. They all had this. So even though they're not going, you know, full contact, full tackling, guys are still going hard. And, you know, there's one-on-one and 11-on-11 and 7-on-7. And, you know, people are going to bang heads. So the Bills very much in this regime have really evolved in sports science. They're very, very into it. And I'm guessing this is part of the sports science and sports medicine that, you know, they figured this is the best approach for them.
First practice at camp, what were you looking to see? Was there anything specific you went in with the, hey, I want to watch this guy, or anything in particular in terms of what they were doing, how they looked?
Well, you know, and this obviously gets back a little bit to what we talked about, but I'm interested in, you know, who's lining up where on the offensive line. I'm interested in, you know, what it's looking like with the rotation. You know, they're going to be rotating a lot of guys this time of year. It's hot. They're trying to get a look at everybody, you know, especially the first couple of weeks before we get into the first preseason game. You know, what does that rotation look like, though? You know, who's getting some of the reps? If one guy is out, who's in for him? It's not even just about like a starting competition, if you will. Like if we say, oh, there's a competition at cornerback two, it's a lot of corners. I want to see everybody who's going in with, you know, the second group or the third group, or who gets more reps per se and things like that. Those are things I'm looking at. But that's the micro level. From a macro level, I'm just interested in the pace of practice, how things go. Like, you can tell, for example, there is a huge difference between how this team operates with all of their returning players and coaches versus how other teams have had to operate versus with a new coaching staff and, you know, new quarterback, let's say, and different parts. There is, it really does. And I said this during OTAs and minicamp. You would not know the difference between this practice yesterday and a regular season practice other than so many people and so many, you know, guys getting rotated in. But the pace of it, and just everyone knowing exactly what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to be somewhere and doing it, there is so much less. You don't have to relearn. You have to reteach. They're just expanding and hitting the ground running. And I think that, to me, is something that I look for.
So Matt Breida looks quick, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he does. But, you know, they did a lot of red zone work. That's what stood out to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of red zone work being done. And now it could be one of two things here. Could be simply, that's just the way the schedule is. You know, they felt maybe that this is what we have to start with, and we'll do this other thing on Thursday and this other thing on Friday, and every practice is structured different. Maybe it's something in OTAs and minicamp that they felt, hey, we need a little bit more work on this. But because they worked so much, and I went back and looked yesterday, guys, the Bills offense, despite being so good last year, they were only 13th in the red zone overall. Now, believe it or not, greatly impacted by how bad they were against the Jets in two games.
Oh, yeah, right.
Otherwise, they were really good most of the year, but they were 13th overall because those games count. The defense was fifth worst in the league in red zone, stopping teams, scoring touchdowns. And they got after it. They got after it in the red zone, the two sides, offense, defense, and it was pretty much a wash. I mean, both sides made plays. But within that context, there's less room. But what stood out to me about Matt Breida is just his quick cut ability. He's able in small spaces. He's able to make quick cuts, and you know Devin Singletary can as well. I happen to be kind of focusing on Breida because I haven't really watched him very much. So I did notice, you know, that is something he brings to the table.
I think Breida is an interesting discussion, Sal. I know we've talked a little bit about running backs and usage, and you know what their plan is going to be. And I think even yesterday, I don't remember if it was Bean or McDermott, one of them talked about how, you know, it might just be Dable going with the hot hand each week as far as what they're going to do in terms of running backs. But I think Breida is an interesting story because he does seem to bring a speed aspect and possible explosiveness that you don't necessarily get from Singletary or Moss. And that's why I think Breida is a kind of an interesting guy to track this preseason and what exactly they're going to do with him, if anything.
I think it's specifically why they signed him. I think they knew they needed to add more speed out of the backfield. They needed to add another speed element to the offense that, you know, maybe you can line up in all different spots if that's how they want to use them. But at the same time, he can be a home run threat anytime he touches the ball. You know, the Bills, they really didn't have those big runs last year. They finally got one. There was a 51-yarder by Devin Singletary in Denver, right? But they really didn't have that big ability to break off big runs. It's funny because a couple years ago, it seemed like, you know, Singletary had a bunch of like 15, 20-yard runs. They were hard to come by last year. So, you know, this is a guy that can probably do that a little bit more. The question is, how many opportunities does he get to do that?
Right.
You know, it's not like I don't foresee him being on the field enough to get like 15 touches a game, but it might be a game plan here or there. Well, hey, we can take advantage of maybe one team's slower linebackers, get him on the field in this particular instance or particular play that we want to run, and you know, he'll have that. But goes back to why we talked a lot about Travis Etienne leading up to the draft because of this very issue. But I think the Bills targeted Matt Breida for that specific reason you mentioned.
Sal with us. If you got a Bills question, comment, opinion, 803-0550 to join us. You were talking a moment ago about how practice is different when you've got all these guys back. There are very few new faces. One of them is Emmanuel Sanders. I had a couple things I want to ask you about. First, let's go with the bigger picture. What do you think? I know Cole Beasley was asked yesterday, what do you miss without John Brown? What can Sanders bring in? So what can Emmanuel Sanders add to this passing offense?
So there's an on the field and there's an off the field with Emmanuel Sanders. And off the field is what everybody is talking about when you ask them. And it's basically, he has Super Bowl experience. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been through the battles. He's a veteran player who's been around the league. He's seen it all. He knows how to play against every single defense. He can really add a lot to that locker room. He can add an element, you know, of experience for the young guys, helping them come along. He can play inside. Now, on the field, he can play inside and outside. But, I mean, that's just something that even off the field, he can be a part of all of that to kind of talk through everything and really understand. Now, he's not the speedster John Brown is, mm-hmm. right? You're definitely losing that top-end speed element. But I would say he's a really good route runner. He knows how to get open in all sorts of situations. He's very, very good at going against zone defense. And I think that's a little bit of a part of it we haven't really focused on or talked about, which is, you know, sometimes teams played zone last year over the top and forced the Bills to keep, you know, we talked about this, Kansas City, Tennessee did it, and they forced the Bills to keep everything underneath. And I think that's where this guy can excel, which is, if you want to do that, he's really good at finding spots and sitting down in zones and understanding leverage and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the Bills, they care about that stuff greatly, like those little things that are going to make the difference and really give themselves that little bit of margin that they can find to be a little bit more successful. Now, also, though, on the field, I would say this, Howard. He's more of a physical guy. I think the last couple of years, one of the areas the Bills receivers have struggled is with physical defensive back play against them. And I think Emmanuel Sanders comes in and he gives them an opportunity to be able to get off press coverage a little bit more than John Brown would be able to be able to run the ball, get the ball in his hands and run maybe after the catch a little bit more than John Brown used to. I like John Brown. I was a big mm-hmm. John Brown fan, but those weren't really necessarily areas of his strength areas of his. I think that's where Emmanuel Sanders can bring something to the table that he didn't.
I thought, you know, listening to Josh Allen when he was asked about Sanders, I thought it was interesting, Sal, and he would have gone through this with, you know, Diggs, for example, last year, and Brown and Beasley prior to that, how he talked about that chemistry, that, yeah, he's a veteran receiver, but Sanders has to get a feel for the throws that Josh Allen makes and how he thinks and how he improvises, and Allen has to get an idea for Sanders and how he runs his routes and where, you know, all the different nuances of each player's game, the receiver learning the quarterback learning the receiver, and Josh was very good at creating that chemistry, and Diggs with you know, those two guys were great at it last year. But I found that really interesting that, you know, you're going through that now with Emmanuel Sanders learning Allen and Allen learning Sanders.
If you go back 2 years ago, it was Josh with Cole and Josh with John Brown. I thought that they did a really, really great job of it, mm-hmm. you know, and they got on the same page really quickly.
Yeah.
And now then he did it last year with Stephon Diggs because of the shortened offseason. They got on the page. Now, granted, they had some workouts away from the facility and things like that, but I think Josh and any receiver he's brought in, and Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey and Chad Hall and everybody that goes into making all of that work have done an excellent job of getting everybody on speed to understand and up to speed and figuring all that out. So I don't think there should be any issue. And the advantage this year versus what he had with Diggs last year, there'll be three preseason games too. You know, however the Bills want to play that, they didn't have that last year with Stephon Diggs. So I'm not worried about that at all. And I agree with you, you know, the way Josh said it and how he talked about it, it's just something that seems like they'll be able to figure out pretty quickly.
I forgot a nuts and bolts question with Dawkins and Botker. What happens now that they're in the COVID protocols?
So basically when they're ready, they have to pass a series of tests, basically be away from the team for a certain number of days. And I got to look what the updated protocols is. And I'm sorry, because I know that they've changed basically over the last, you know, a couple of months and things like that. But when they're ready to rejoin the team, They'll be back out there, but right now they can't be.
I got you with a pop quiz. Ha ha. There you go.
No, that's okay. I just want to be sure. I don't want to speak. I was wondering. Can't be the team right now. They have to. You know, make sure they have a certain amount of negative tests within a certain period after spending a certain amount of time away. But all of that has kind of been a moving target over the last few months.
That's why I was wondering with the, and I may have this wrong, sorry, because there's so many different rules. But I was wondering if when someone goes into protocols, will you basically, in a back channel way, learn whether they're vaccinated or not? If you're unvaccinated, I believe, right, you got to stay away from the facility for 10 days. But if you're vaccinated and you have two negative tests 24 hours apart, you can come right back.
Right, and but that doesn't necessarily maybe tell us because they're.
I was just curious,
right? You know what I mean? Like, I would caution anybody. This, by the way, this goes towards a lot of this stuff. I'd caution anybody against reading into anything you see on the field about who is or who isn't unless they tell you. For example, there was a rule that came out that said, you know, if you're even stretching and whatever, people have to wear masks. Mm-hmm. Right? We know Cole Beasley's not vaccinated. He's told us that he's, you know, doesn't want to do it. Well, he wasn't wearing a mask while stretching, but the rule also states that if it prevents you in certain instances from doing it, you don't have to. So, that, you know, he doesn't have to necessarily in that instance. There were other players wearing masks, but we don't know if they are. They could just be doing it because they want to be safer or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So I would caution anybody, because I get this a lot, that, oh, look at that guy. That must mean this. That must mean that. None of it means anything unless we know.
I thought Beasley actually, I know everybody was focusing in on the whole vaccination stuff. I thought one of his answers, Sal, it goes to the discussion, and Allen was asked about it, McDermott, they were all asked about the same concept of, you know, you were the underdog, now you're a contender, the sky-high expectations, and I thought Beasley's answer was pretty cool. You know, he said something about how no one wants to be close to being the best. You know, that there's, and Allen talked about still having the chip on the shoulder. And I think one of those two guys talked about still having a sour taste in their mouth about the Kansas City game, the AFC Championship game. I thought there was, you know, the mindset of the team. We had talked yesterday about how you handle the pressure of those expectations. And all these guys I thought were pretty good at saying, we didn't win anything, so why should we be complacent?
Yeah, I think Sean, you know, the messaging has been ever since, remember that very first press conference after the season, which was, if you think you're this close, and he puts his fingers together, right, on the screen, on the Zoom call, he says, you think you're this close, you know, you're not. You have to start over.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the message since they left the facility after the Kansas City Chiefs loss in the AFC Championship game, which is you have to start over again. Like, this is a daily process, and I agree with you. I found the messaging to be the same yesterday. Even Stephon Diggs talked about, you know, it starts with winning one game. You have to do that. Tremaine Edmonds, it starts with, you know, you can't just go there and you got to take one day at a time. And yes, it's cliche in sports, one day at a time. We all know that. But to a man, you know, you have to make sure that everybody understands you can't just start off where you left off last year. How many times have we seen teams have success and then the next year they just didn't? You know, so you have to remember, and even was it McDermott or Bean? One of them, I think maybe Bean was talking about how he overheard an assistant coach talking to his players about climbing the mountain again. You're back at the bottom. You have to reclimb the mountain. So yeah, all that stuff is real and it's right. And that's how they're approaching it.
Back on the practice field today, I assume, right?
10 o'clock. So we'll see if, you know, we'll see if there's any rain or anything like that. So, I know that they're supposed to be down in Orchard Park around that time, but either way, yeah, they are scheduled to practice once again today at 10 a.m.
All right, make sure you have your WGR poncho, rain poncho, ready to go so you don't get wet.
Do you have mine? I think you borrowed it one time when we were golfing.
Well, no, mine would be a lot larger than yours. See, mine's like a tent. Yours would be a little bit more tailored to your physique. Okay. Mine's just a huge, big thing. So we will chat with you again tomorrow morning, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Sal.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.